I've been praying for Kathy. We just want to pray for whoever that is right now. You may be listening over the web. Kathy, I just want you to know that God's not forgotten you either. And just be blessed today. Be healed in your body, soul, and spirit. And just want you to know that God's not forgotten you, Kathy, whoever you are or wherever you may be. You may run into a Kathy next week. And if you do, just say, you know, God prayed for you Sunday. God had you on his mind Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a green light. Go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We're going to be talking this morning about being light bearers, shining your light. Amen. For everyone to see. Amen. You heard that song, you know, we sang in Sunday school and in church, let your little light shine. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let anybody blow it out. No. I'm going to let it shine. Going to take it around the world and let it shine. Amen. Amen. God may not call you to go to the next county or overseas or somewhere to minister the gospel, but you are an influence in the world where you're at. Amen. You let your light shine where you are at, and then your world will get bigger and bigger for you to shine brighter and brighter. I want to read you something really quick, and then we're going to get into the message this morning about being light bearers and about letting your light shine. Amen. For I brought you out of darkness into your into my marvelous light. For it is walking in the light that you will see the way to walk. For it is in this light you will be a witness of my saving power to those who are lost in the dark. Shine, my sons and daughters, let your light shine. Be joyful at all times, for my joy is upon you in this season in a great way. When the enemy comes in to cause you to doubt, begin to laugh in the joy you have. For it is that anointed laughter he will flee. So laugh with great joy. And see my light shine forth to the saving of this generation. Somebody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and lift your hands and say, I'm going to let my light shine.
I'm going to let my
light shine. Amen. It's going to shine bright because things are getting pretty dark out there. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to title this message today to be light bearers. Light bearers. Called to be light bearers. When you're a light bearer, you're letting your light shine. The Bible says in Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us.
Amen.
Somebody say, I've been delivered. From the power of darkness, yes. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Whew. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people, in the light. For he has rescued us, drawn us into himself from the dominion of darkness, and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Inheritance of the saints in light. Meaning, made competent, made sufficient, entitled, authorized, and enabled.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. You can leave today, and that's your word.
Yes, it is.
Amen. If you are saved again, if you're born again, this is who you are. You've authorized to be a son or daughter of light. You've been able to be a son or daughter of light. You have sufficiency to be a son and daughter of light. Delivered us, transferred us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And this is a movement. And when that movement takes place, guess what happens? When you say, yes, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I accept the work you did on the cross for me. When that movement takes place, you can leave all that old baggage behind. And I don't know about you, but some of us had a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Now, for a long time after I saved, I didn't know I could leave all that old baggage behind because I went to churches where they didn't teach me that.
That's
You ought to praise God every day that you're at a church who are teachers about grace. That you are a new person. That if you don't have to have all that old baggage torn around with you all the time. And so many people that are saved and born again, the reason they keep tripping up is because they're trying to carry all that old baggage with them. Well, I got good news for you today. We know the good news. We know the gospel is the good news. Just go ahead and lay it down because God already took care of it through Jesus. Amen? So you don't have to come into this kingdom with all that old baggage. It's been taken care of. So this is a movement. The only thing that is going to remain the same is what you look at like out here. Somebody said, oh, me. But we got some, you know, things to help us along. Hallelujah. But you are a new person on the inside. And there's going to be a difference that takes place in your life. You now live in the kingdom of light. Revelation says, Martha, in 1:6, he's made us kings and priests to God, and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, you're sons and daughters of God. Now, you are priests and kings unto God. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be somebody. You are somebody now. Amen? So kingdom dynamics is awesome. Now, I'm going to read this whole thing, so just get ready, because I mean, this is shout stuff right here, church. Listen to this. The translated believer from under Satan authority to Christ is described as a movement into another kingdom. Ensuing verse describes Christ's redemption as bringing us to a place of completeness, that is, of spiritual adequacy, authority, ability to live victoriously over and above the invisible powers of darkness. See, you've been letting Satan whip you around. Yeah. He's got you bluffed.
Yes, he does.
And it's time for somebody to stand up and put the bluff on him.
Right,
yes. This becomes functionally true as opposed to merely theoretically. So number one, it says, when we live and love, that's about letting your light shine. That's about being a witness. Amen? So when we live and love as citizens for the heavenly kingdom, because that's where you're at now if you're born again. Number two, utilize. So you got to utilize. You got to put to work what God's put in you, or it's just going to lay there.
That's right.
Amen. You got to put to work what has already been given into you.
Yes.
Utilize this kingdom's currency, which is of irresistible value. You should shout forth God so much, the glory of God so much with joy, that you're irresistible when you get around people. People just ought to be drawn to you because they sense something about you that they won't.
Amen.
And the world is so busy trying to make themselves look good on the outside,
right,
that they're stinking.
Right.
But we as sons and daughters of God should be so irresistible that people are attracted to us because of something that we have inside of us, which we know is the love of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when they begin to be drawn to us, that's what we can say to them. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. And number three, operate as ambassadors, authorized to offer kingdom, peace, and reconciliation to those yet renewed in Christ. All about letting your light shine, church, right here. Number four, serve as the kingdom militia, girded for a prayerful conflict against the dark powers controlling so much of this present world. The terminology of the kingdom holds more than a poetic picture. It is practically applicable to all of our living. Everything that I read right now is practical to our everyday living because we have been part of a movement that brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are not who we used to be. Isn't that good? I'm just so excited. I would run to town and back if I could. But I might walk. Amen? It sounds like the word I read to you at the beginning. For I have brought you out of darkness into my marvelous light. For it is walking in this light. You are walking in the light of God. And when you are walking in the light of God, you will be an influence. So why not be? You're going to be an influence one way or the other.
Right.
So So why not just be an influence of good? For it is in this light, in what light? The light that you are walking in, the Jesus light, Jesus, the love of God, you will be a witness of my saving power, of my delivering power, of my good, more than good enough power to those who are lost in the dark. There are a lot of people that are lost in the dark, thinking that this is the way to walk. Amen. But because of your irresistible power, people are going to be drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shine, my sons and daughters, let your light shine. Choose to be irresistible. Now that you're born again, you're no longer a son and daughter of darkness, but a son and daughter of light. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are called to shine. If anybody wants to know and wants you to pray for them, I just need to know what my calling is. Just tell them to keep shining and they'll just walk into it. So many people are just praying and fasting and trying to find out their calling. Well, I've got the word for you. Just keep on shining and you'll just walk right into it, not even know it. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Did you know that you're supposed to be strange and it's okay? Amen. Everybody's wanting to be different. Well, here it is. You're different if you're born again and you're letting your light shine. Amen. You're a peculiar people. Why? That you may show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, in which time past, the time when you were of the kingdom of darkness, you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Why? Because you have obtained mercy. You didn't have mercy, but now that you have obtained mercy. So what does it mean to show forth the praises of God? Praises in this particular passage of Scripture is better translated excellencies or virtues. In the Greek, it has a sense of send a message. When you are letting your light shine, you're shining forth the praises. You're sending a message to those that are still in darkness, the good news, that they don't have to be bound no more. They don't have to be hurting anymore. Amen. That they don't have to feel depressed or oppressed anymore. Come on, somebody. The Greek has the sense of a send a message, thus to publish abroad His excellencies. Like I said at the beginning, you may not be called to go to another county or another state or even out of the state or out of the, somebody said amen, over there somewhere. But you could be an influence in the world in which you are right now. This would tell us the Lord leaves us here for a purpose. Some think it's just to save us so that we can go to hell, and praise God for that. That's part of the package. But the reasons is of salvation. But the real reason is that the Lord may have a witness for Himself in the world. He didn't save you just so that you wouldn't die and go to hell. That's just a done deal when it happens. You can be broke, miserable, sick, and weird, and afflicted, and distressed, and everything else, and go to heaven. But we got a life to live now. We've got a witness to be now. We've got to let our light shine to tell somebody that their life could be different than what it has been. Amen? So we are saved to be a light. The enemy wants to put out the light, but the church, whoo! When I was thinking about this, Lord, I began to hear a roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah coming up in the sight of some of you all. Because you've heard the message last week that you're not going to sit there no more. And that roar is getting louder and louder. And when the roar starts getting louder and louder, the light's going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. But there's a roar that's coming forth from the church that says, I refuse to sit here any longer. I refuse not to let my light shine. Somebody needs to have what I got. I got to tell somebody about the saving power of God that says, I'll not be silent anymore. We have the truth that the world needs for salvation with the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand, which is the word of truth. Amen. Matthew 5:13-14 says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Why would you want a candle to light a dark room and then go put it in a room where there's light? What's the purpose of lighting a candle? Why?
Why would you, neither do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel or hide it, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He lights the candle, he puts it on a candlestick, something that's a permanent fixture. Why? Giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I like this translation. It says, here's another way to put it. You're to be a light. Bring it out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I remember one time being really depressed and aggravated about something. And I was just going to talk to God about it. And he said, you're depressed and aggravated about it because you're not doing something about it, and you know that something can be done about it. Did anybody understand that? You don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on the hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I tell you what, a lot of people have been preaching some things about our Father God that is just not true. He is not out to get you. He's doing everything that he can to get the good news to you. Amen. So let's just silence that roar of the enemy right now. God is for you and not against you. Amen. And when you begin to open up, you're going to open the lives of so many people that are in bondage to religion. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. You got the scripture before, the verse for that. Salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste or its purpose, how can it be made salty? If no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out, walked over people when the walkways are wet and slippery. You are called to be salt. That's why that enemy is trying to steal your testimony and trying to silence you. He's trying to cause you not to have flavor because salt brings flavor to food. You are to bring out the God colors in the world by being salt. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the flavors in the world. The word said, be joyful at all times, for my joy is upon you in this season in a great way. And remember when I said in the first part of the service, when God begins to say, this is a season for something, this is the now time for something, and I said, God, explain that to me. And he said, when I say that to somebody, I am saying somebody has touched me with their prayer. Somebody has touched me with their intercession. I've heard the cry of somebody that says, now is the opportunity for something to happen because the conditions are favorable. The conditions. Oh my goodness, church. There's a shifting. There's a shifting for somebody this morning. And when he says this is the season for something, he said this is my favorable time for it to happen. I have heard your cry. I've heard your petition. I've heard it come up before me. And I'm making some things line up for it to happen. So God's not forgot you in the bigger picture of things. And one of the ways to be a light shiner, a light bearer, is to be a joyful Christian. There's a whole lot of Christian people that are just not joyful. Amen. Because they have allowed the circumstances of life to override what they know the truth of the word to be. And there's nothing no worse than being around an unjoyful Christian. Because, there are some Christians that are just not pleasant to be around. The Bible tells in 1 Thessalonians, 5:16, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer, every situation, no matter what the circumstances. Be thankful and continually give thanks to God.
Okay, if somebody else wants you to know the will of God for their life, just read them right this right here, because he goes on to say, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So if somebody wants you to pray for them for the will of God for their lives, take them to 1 Thessalonians. You are to be rejoicing.
Amen.
You are supposed to be delighting in your faith.
Yes.
You are supposed to be unceasing and persistent in prayer. When? In every situation.
Yes.
No matter what the circumstances. Be thankful.
Yes.
And continually give thanks to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Next time somebody asks you, just say, okay, this is it. You cannot rejoice with having some joy. Rejoice means to feel, show great joy or delight. We're still talking about letting our light shine, church. Our joy is in knowing who we are because of him. People that are out there in the darkness that have not been translated to the kingdom of light need to know that there is hope.
Right.
Need to know that there is more than the life they're living now. And when the enemy comes in to cause you to doubt, begin to laugh at him in the joy that you have.
Yes.
Because the enemy has no access to the true joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord comes out of your spirit man. It comes from deep within your spirit man. I remember a long, long time ago, I had a situation, and I was a bit overwhelmed by it, and I was just driving. I think, I don't know what to do about it. I couldn't do anything about it, even if I wanted to. And I began to laugh. It was a holy laughter, church. We need to ask God for a holy laughter when we come up against something that we don't know what to do about. And I had to pull off the side of the road, and when it lifted, it was clear. Did the situation change at that moment? Absolutely not. But my view of it had changed. I began to remember what the Lord had to say about it. So there's a holy laughter, church. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. There's a holy laughter that some of you need to get into and begin to laugh at the enemy. So there's nothing, things that you can do. So Psalm says 12:13 says, the wicked plot against the righteous, gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. The wicked one, the one who oppresses the righteous, for he sees that his day of defeat is coming. So when the enemy comes against you with something, with wanting to oppress you and tell you not, it's not going to work out, just say, I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength, and I'm going to start laughing at this thing. And when it's all over, devil, you are the one that's going to be fleeing, for my God is for me and not against me. Hallelujah. Psalms 2:4 said, he who sits enthroned in the heavens laughs at their rebellion. Glory to God. Let the holy laughter come up in you. Be caught up in the presence of the Lord instead of the pressures of the enemy.
Yes.
For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy.
Amen.
For it is in that anointed laughter he will feast fully. So laugh with great joy and see my light shine forth to the saving of this generation. When they're out there protesting and acting stupid, you just begin to laugh.
Amen.
You begin to laugh at how the enemy, and it's not that you're making fun of it, but that laughter comes from a place of you knowing that God is in control. And it's just a few out there that's making the noise anyway. It's just a few out there letting the enemy use them to make this noise. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 119 and 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I heard one of the greatest anointed teachers and ministers of the Word say this a couple of Wednesday nights ago, our pastor. He said, the road has already been paved. We don't build the road. We just walk on the road that has already been paved. Jesus has already got your life planned. Amen. And the road that you're walking has already been paved by God. And while you're on that road, be a light. Let somebody else see the light of Jesus. So if we're going to make a difference, church, in this world, the world around us, we must let the light of Jesus shine through us. And it's not that we as sons and daughters of God are not going to go through the same situations and the same things that those of the world that are going to go through, but our reaction to it is different.
We have something to stand upon when the world around us seems to be falling apart. And that is, we know who our protector is. We know who guides us. We know who leads us. We know who heals us. We know who delivers us. He is able. I know in whom I believe. I know he's able. He's got you covered. Amen. That's my word. That's all I have today. Just go out there and do what the Holy Spirit's told you to do. Be a light in this dark world. And let your light so shine before men that they may see the work that's God done in you. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You have something, Pastor? I'll let Pastor dismiss us this morning. Amen.
You're going to have to bear with me. I've had another procedure, and it's not quite got back to where it's supposed to be yet. So, I sound like I'm a horse. I am. But Jesus is still Lord. And you know, when we come in here for a service, it's easy to let our light shine. Because we're in a room full of light. And much of the time we're not even noticed. But when you go out there in the world and you end up in a place where there's nothing but darkness, and you let your light shine, you're liable to end up the focus of attention, good, bad, and otherwise. The ones that don't want to see you will come against you. And sometimes the ones that are glad you're shining won't stand up and shine with you. They appreciate you doing it, but, you know, now that you're shining, I don't really have to. And I'll tell you something else. If you're a couple of miles out in the dark, and there's just a little light, it's visible. Now, I could go down to Cane Valley, stand down there in the middle of the road where you can see me from here. And I can light a candle. And I can promise you that if it's daytime, you will never even pay attention to the light on that candle. But if it's night, and you're walking out there in the parking lot, what's going to catch your attention? You're going to see that light and say, "I wonder what that light is." You know, that's how God got Moses' attention. He set a bush on fire. Moses saw the light. Decided to go see what it was. Well, was that ever a life-changing experience for him? Just because he saw the light and wanted to go check it out. Be a light. And don't look around to see if people are watching you. Just shine. Just shine. Now I want to say something else before I close. God's your answer. You can go to him anytime. We're going to pray a closing prayer here in a minute. I might cover what you need, I might not. But God's always there. Always looking. But before I do that, I want to do something else. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we have a special plan today for appreciating our pastor. We're showing Pastor Appreciation Day to Sister Shirley. Doing it is we're having soup and sandwiches, a lunch, and everybody's welcome to stay Some of you might not even heard about it, I don't know, but we tried to get the word out. And we're going to be doing that, but there's also going to be a basket back there on the table. I guess it's back there, isn't it? And if you'd like to put an offering, yeah, Brother Jerry's holding it back there, and if you'd like to give Sister Shirley an offering, an appreciation offering for all that she's done. She's taken care of this place for the last 2 years. She's taken care of it since I died. Just happened to come back, but, you know, it was right after the time when I died that she stepped up and started doing things. And we appreciate you, Sister Shirley. And so you wait right there where you are as they go out so they can give you a hug or tell you how much they love you or just walk on past you and not say nothing. But from your sermon this morning, I already know that you know what God thinks of you. And He thinks the same thing about the rest of you. You know what? This church is for you. It's a place where you can hear the truth. It's a place where you can be set free. We're not being called into bondage again. God didn't save us from the bondage of sin to put us in the bondage of religion. He saved us to set us free. Lift the load off of us. You know, there are so many Christians that think God is so demanding of them that they're not able to do. I've had people say, well, you know, I tried to be Christian, but I just can't live a Christian life. And what they mean is, all the stuff that's been put on me to do, I can't do it. But I got news for you this morning. God didn't put it on you. Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you know why His burden is light? To you? Because He carried it. He carried it. And for Him to put it back on you would nullify everything that He did at Calvary. It's the only way you can look at it. If somebody took a guilty plea for me and went to jail in my place, then I can never, under the laws of humanity in this country anyway, I can never be sent to prison for the crime, even if I had committed it, because it's already been paid for. And that's what people don't understand about sin. You're not going to live from now on without sinning. But the difference is that sin's already been paid for. And if you understand what grace is, you'll stay as far away from sin as you can. But you can't get away from it while you're still living on this planet. When Jesus prayed for His disciples, He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And you're always going to run up on Him. He's going to see to it. Because He's going to see if He can't blow your light out. But He don't have enough wind to do that unless you let Him. You know what? You know these little candles, little birthday candles you get, and you put them on somebody's cake and you light them and you can't blow them out? You know, and they're gone for just a second, but then there's at least see that little spark going, here that comes back again. So the devil's like trying to blow you out when you're one of them. And it looks like you're out, but all of a sudden it's, and there you're back. It's all by the grace of God. Not by anything we've done ourselves. So when I pray this closing prayer, I want you to, you know, you don't have to say it out loud, but if I say something that applies to you, you just to yourself and to God say, amen. And what you're saying is, I accept that. I accept it as mine. And I'm also going to finish when I get to the end of the prayer, I'm going to bless the food. And like I said, all of you are welcome to stay and help celebrate Pastor Appreciation Month with Sister Shirley. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, we know that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the choice is ours to believe or not to believe. And Lord God, I choose to believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ paid for my sins and bought my justification and made me righteous. And Lord God, I am committed to seeing that righteousness shine from my life. I'm committed to being a light because I know that you are going to help me no matter how dark it gets. The more the darkness, the more I'm going to be seen. The darker it gets, the brighter the candle is. And I thank you, Lord God. And I thank you for each one that's here this morning, for each that may be listening to this message over the internet. That you, Lord God, are our hope. You are our righteousness and our salvation. The obedience and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made is what gives us life. Life everlasting. And that the power of grace not only provided for us a place in heaven, but it provides us with the power to persevere, and the power, Lord God, to be victorious against all the power of the enemy. For in you, and in that power, you have made us more than conquerors. Thank you for the message of the gospel. The message that you yourself said was eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Help us, Lord God, with the grace you've given us and the faith you've put within us. To use that faith, to believe in that grace that set us free from sin, from its penalty, from its power, and from its victory and guilt. You've set us free, and we thank you for it. And Lord, I ask you to bless the time that we're going to have now, fellowship time. Bless each one that's had a part in it. Bless the food. Bless Sister Shirley. Bless this church. And help us, Lord God, to stand faithful to your word and to our calling. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Walk in victory this week. Be sure and stay for lunch.